Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, Easy, and I'm joined by my co-host, Patty Friggin' B.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Patty Friggin' B.
Patty Friggin' B. You got to change your official name, middle name, to Friggin' now.
Okay,
so deal. Patty Friggin' B, you know? How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. I'm excited to talk about today's topic.
Speaking of today's topic... I think that my team, really the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, need to be sent to the wall. and if you aren't in our fantasy,
ready to the glue farm.
Yeah, just like no, sent to the wall. They got to be sent up north for their crimes against my fantasy football chances. We talk about fantasy football in our Discord. If you want to check that out, head on over to the link in the show notes. We got a fantasy league. Every year for football, we're doing daily fantasy league and basketball this year. The official season starts Christmas Day, so come join the fun as we do fantasy sports as well. What are we talking about today, Patty B? What are we talking about? We're talking about a wall. People are like, "What wall? What wall are we talking about?"
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall! No, we're talking about the House of the Dragons, a new Game of Thrones series. That just had its final episode of season one air this last Sunday. So,
yeah, so
we're super stoked to talk about it.
Time recording. I did not watch this again to prepare for this episode. I normally am like super into like rewatching the whole thing again. And I just have been so busy at work, I haven't had time. So, I've only seen all of these episodes one time, which is not normal for me in a review that we do on the show. I said that last week, too, with Hocus Pocus.
Same here.
Except, I guess that's not true, because we re-recorded, and then I watched it again.
Yeah.
I'm just a liar. I'm just a liar, Patty B. Liar, like, the showrunners, for the ages that they made these kids. That's right, the nerd fact of the week is that the characters are not the age that they are in the historical events of the show, or of the books. So, for context, I'm going to kind of give a little bit of our segment that we normally do, like, what are we talking about? I might actually give it during our Nerd Fact this week, because I think this Nerd Fact is really cool. So, the book that this is based on is narrated by someone who had gathered stories from across Westeros about this era, about this civil war. And this is, and for what it's worth, this is actually loosely based on the English Civil War of the 12th century, where King Henry, I think, daughter and cousin were trying to take the throne. It's really interesting. But one of the things that needed to happen, because they didn't want, because of the way that the showrunners wanted the show to work, one of them being, one of the writers for the show being George R. R. Martin himself, is they changed the age of the characters. Millie Alec, who, for instance, is a 21-year-old, and we're going to get into the time skip as well, she plays 15-year-old Princess Rhaenyra. In the book, Princess Rhaenyra would have been 9. And her friend would have been 12 years... Her friend being... Alicent actually would have been, I believe, 12 years older than her. Where in this show, they're roughly 1 year apart.
12 years older, not 12 years
old. Oh, 12 years older. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. That makes more sense why she marries her dad.
Wow, spoilers already. Into this. I'm not even going to edit it out.
It makes it a lot less creepy. You know?
It's good context.
Good to know.
It's good context. But it's not... So, yeah. So, Alicent is actually aged down in this. Rhaenyra is aged up. And I also think that Daemon might be aged differently as well. We'll get into some more interesting facts. I don't want to give any more out because I don't want to spoiler anything for, you know, listeners. Because I care about you, the listener. Unlike some people. Gosh. You know who else cares about our listener, Petty B, is our sponsor at Anchor. One of the number one questions you get asked when you make a podcast like this is, how do I make a podcast? Well, Anchor is the answer. Head on over to anchor.fm, check it out, owned by Spotify. Patty, I just showed you how to post this podcast to every single feed. And I mean, we edited our bonus episode and posted it probably in under an hour.
Yeah, it was a great time.
And Anchor was super, like, Anchor was the actual easiest part. It was easier than even YouTube was.
Yeah, 100%. Because you have to make a thumbnail for YouTube, and Anchor just makes the whole process so easy.
You can make a thumbnail for your podcast episode, too. I just don't do it.
Oh, gotcha.
So, just to be clear, some people do it. Oh. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think individual episodes need their own thumbnails for an audio listener.
For audio listeners, yeah. Sure.
With that being said, though, check out our sponsor at Anchor. The money's already coming in, you know? We're already making the big bank from that one. Let's go to Sound Asking, though. We already talked about the fantasy football stuff and the fantasy basketball stuff. Basketball is ramping up. I'd like to get to about six people. One of the nice things about daily fantasy is you can do head-to-head. Like, you don't have to compete every week. But the contest will be free up until Christmas, so come join. Super fun. Patty B, we got to get you in this next one. Vinny crushed me in the last one, so.
Oh yeah, well he's crushing everyone in fantasy right now, I think.
So just kids got game.
For sure.
Speaking of having game, if you want to join the Constructive Criticism Open Series, sponsored by Game Grid Lehigh, don't forget to check out that podcast and what's going on there. The next one got announced. Patty B got top 8 of the last one. Patty, you gotta go get this season 2 trophy.
100%.
You gotta put it on the wall. When RCQ is
standard, Aaron Leek calls it my format, so I gotta show up there as well.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, they told me that when we played. He's like, oh, I guess I'm playing you in your format because I've been a huge proponent of standard.
I like it.
I'm excited to play standard.
Working out some stuff to bring game nights back to the Discord. Awesome. The tons of things that we can do. Hopefully we can get that rolling as well. That's going to do it for the housekeeping, the sponsors, the get that stuff out of the way. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. We're going to boil them, mash them, put them in a stew. Let's go.
Wrong franchise, but I like it.
Taters.
I love it.
Taters.
Taters, precious.
What are taters? Season 1 of House of the Dragons, it takes place 172 years before the events of Daenerys Targaryen in Game of Thrones. It follows the history of a civil war of the Targaryen family. And the season 1 is the events leading up to that war. Our show notes are wrong. For what it's worth, there's supposed to be another section. Hold on.
Got it.
I'm going to go first on first impressions or like initial memories. I'm not as big as a hater as most people are for the end of Game of Thrones. Spoilers for the end of Game of Thrones, by the way, because I'm about to pop off, fam. I always knew that Daenerys was going to be a crazy psychopath and murder everyone. Because throughout the entire show, she's a crazy psycho person that murders everyone. So, like...
She showed you who she is.
Like, sure. She showed her cards the whole show. What's funny is the end of this show, we'll get into it, has people upset because another character that shows that they're a crazy, murdering psychopath does something bad. And honestly, like, stop falling in love with crazy psycho murderers. Like, what are you doing?
So for what it's worth, I don't think that something bad was intentional.
Okay, we'll get into that. Don't we don't
but need we will to, get into that.
We don't need to get well, hold on. No. I'm not talking about that person though. I know he'd man, just save it. Hold on. These are my first impressions.
Yes, sir.
So like going into this, I had fond memories of Game of Thrones. I actually remember a tweet from a magic personality named Brian David Marshall. And I think it was after episode 3 of season 8, where I think it's the long night. It's the night before the battle against the Night King. And
oh, that's the one where it's just so dark that like...
No, that's the battle with the Night King. That episode that sucked. Battle.
Oh, the one before.
Yeah, I do. Really we'll cool. get into it. Don't worry. That could be betters are coming. Actually, I don't know if that's this show, though. That might be the other show that has that problem.
The main series, right? With the
no, 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 no. I'm talking... Well... You know what, Patty? Let me finish!
Sorry!
No, I love you. So, one of the things that was proposed is that the Game of Thrones actually just ends there. Instead of everything that happens after that episode, that's the end of the Game of Thrones showrun that we have. And to me, it's like... That's one. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, if they want to revisionist history this show and bring it back and end it at that exact moment, I'd be for it. Good luck getting the actors to do it. Second, I get that people... that it should have been, like, 2 or 3 more seasons. Like, I totally agree. Totally understand. I'm just not as jaded about... something giving me 7 years of amazing content because they gave me 5 months of amazing content that like was mediocre by its own standards. Like what world are we coming to? So for me going into this show, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch it. I am interested in this world. I'm especially interested in the Targaryens. I was sucked down YouTube Game of Thrones lore all the time for, you know, the while after the show. And I was interested. My first impression of the show after episode 1 was, wow, okay. After episode 2 and 3, okay, like this is a show. Like, it got to this show will hold a special place in my heart because I'm now rewatching Game of Thrones with my wife. My wife never wanted to watch Game of Thrones before. You know, she only watched it when it was on with me and she wanted to sit by me. And now she's like in. She's like, I'm actually interested in all of this. So yeah, those are my first impressions and kind of initial thoughts going into the series. What about you?
Yeah, so, I loved Game of Thrones. I'm also not as jaded, right, as you know, some fans were with the ending. And that actually, for what it's worth, would be a good spot to end the series, right? It's like, if you're going to make it about the Night King and have him be the big bad, right, just you know, make that drama be a fine point
so,
there.
So, to be worth, the suggestion was actually before the battle with the Night King. The Night...
Oh, and just like, don't even have the
and
battle.
And don't even the have the battle.
Oh, okay. See, I could see it ending with the battle with the Night King and just like not dealing with the ramifications after.
Sure.
Right. But come to find out, so I watch a lot of things and they've been teasing this for a while. The cast looked really great. And you know, something I learned early on and going back and rewatching the main series, right, is that you know, Joffrey also told us about how this series is going to end, right? The Dance of the Dragons is a really compelling, because I went down those same rabbit holes, right? They had so much content surrounding the other lore with Game of Thrones. And so the Dance of the Dragons has just so much extra story. And I was really excited to jump back into the world. It's something that I made time for. Right. No matter what I was doing on Sundays, you know, we watched Game of Thrones for and House of the Dragon was no different.
What were your first impressions like? Kind of watching it, like was there? Mm-hmm. You sit down, you watch Heir of the Dragons, or you watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, those first three episodes, right? Like they're all insane. Like they're just that whole arc is quite crazy. Did you have a first impression after watching some of that?
Yeah. So first impression with watching it, and it's actually one of my love it. So I'll get into more of it there, but it gave you kind of like what I said with Hocus Pocus, right? Where it felt like Game of Thrones, right? But it was also very different. And it's very clear, right? With the different showrunners. I think that's one thing that, you know, made the end of the main series so exhausting for people, right? Is those showrunners. I think people like were done with them. And I think they were done with the project, right? They wanted to move on to other things. So the quality, you know, took a dip as far as Game of Thrones standards, like you mentioned.
It was high standards to live by, and I agree. Like
it is. Yeah.
Well, let's go into full spoiler territory. If you haven't watched the show, you know, please do. I don't want to give book spoilers in here, but I might reference source material from those YouTube dives and stuff like that. I personally have not read. Is it Dance of the Dragons? Is that the name of the book?
Yeah, I think it's a Dance of Dragons.
A Dance of Dragons. I haven't read it, so everything I'm going to be referencing, I learned, and it did not spoil the show for me, so it won't for you either. So, that being said, which is apparently my catchphrase every time I want to transition, I've noticed. overall impressions, a high level look about how much we loved it, what we're reviewing. So my overall impressions of the show were that it is literally better than every season of Game of Thrones for the first season. I did not even. So for me, the beginning of Game of Thrones sucks. Like, it's actually so slow moving until, like, is it like episode 5? Like, it is glacial speeds.
Right. They really take their time trying to give you the backstory of, you know, the Starks and the
Lannisters. And they're doing it through, like, just Ned and Baratheon talking to each other. Or like, Cersei talk. Like, just through conversations, you're just supposed to pick up on all this insane context. It is glacially moving throughout the beginning of that show. This show
does not. Pace was off.
This show does not have that problem. Like,
I mean, if anything, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah. But it's not blitzing through it, right? It is giving you context at the pace in which Game of Thrones was giving you context in the good seasons of Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And you know what? Unfair to Game of Thrones, you already have all the context. If you're watching this show, other than maybe my wife, you didn't need the context at that glacial speed because you already watched all of Game of Thrones. So you know who the houses are. You know who the lords might be. And
there's some new faces.
Well, I meant the lord, the houses, the you knew what the relationship should be, I guess I should say.
Sure. Okay.
I think that we'll get into this later, but I honestly believe that there are very few seasons of television that will ever and have ever lived up to the hype that this got and how good it was, which is crazy that people are like disappointed by the end of this, because it's like, what? This was like,
I loved it. Especially the last two episodes where they like, they took their time setting up the whole second series with each side of the houses, right?
This is so cool, because we got to the end of the second to last episode, and my wife turns to me and she goes, We didn't even. She doesn't even know yet. Mm-hmm. Rhaenyra doesn't even know. Like, we're supposed to just wait. And you know, while it gives you, like I said, while it gives you context of that, like when I say it's not blitzing, it is pacing the show at the appropriate pace. And I love that. Anyway, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to steal your
No, point you're there. Good.
I just wanted to add to it with Debonair's context.
For sure. And it also helps, right, that, you know, even though it's not the same showrunners, right, there's a lot of same directors like Miguel Sapochnik, right, working on these episodes. And so, like, you've got a lot of experience with making a Game of Thrones show. So it's I think it's easier to capture that feel, you know, with these different characters and in this different time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first on this one. Who's your favorite character?
Yeah, so my favorite character, I think, throughout this season of the show is Daemon Targaryen. There are a lot of cool moments with him. I love his tenacity, right? You definitely see real change with his character throughout the season. You know, he starts as the jaded brother of the of the king who got, you know, usurped by Rhaenyra, right? Goes off and, you know, fights his wars and does his thing, right? I love like his violence. I think that kept that feeling of Game of Thrones here. He's really witty, right? And like really snarky, and so I appreciate that.
He can keep his tongue, man. He can keep it. It's still there.
he can keep his tongue. I'm like
just not his brain.
Valerian's brother.
His brain is gone, but. Do you not know what I'm putting? He cuts that dude's head in half.
Yeah, yeah.
Says he.
Yeah, yeah.
He says you could have your tongue for that, and he slices the top of his head off.
Oh, he can keep his tongue.
Yeah, he that was the wittiest. I was like, well, he's not wrong. He did keep his tongue.
Yeah, he did keep his tongue. It's just kind of Hank dangling there. We were talking about the same thing. I was different part. And then I'd say his passion, right? There's definitely. So, you know, like there's a part to Game of Thrones, right, that can feel a little awkward, right, with the incestual relationships that were part of that, right? And so there was, you know, those moments initially when Rhaenyra was not an adult, right? You're like, you got those kind of like those, oh, geez, kind of vibes. But you see in the end his passion, right, when he finds out, you know, everyone finds out that, you know, Viserys is dead and they've usurped. He's like right there, ready to go to war. And that side I do like.
So I am not here to defend incest. So I want that to be clear. However, yes. I looked at it. I heard a statistic the other day that throughout human history, 80% of all marriages are between all of human history are between second cousins and closer.
Gotcha. Yeah, it still feels so gross.
So obviously second cousin.
Yeah.
Further away. We live in Utah. My grandpa, like, and I'm once again, ew. But my grandpa like once made a joke to my cousin about kissing my brother, and we were like, "Grandpa, you can't." Like, he's from Vernal, Utah. They literally marry there. It's literally legal to marry your cousins in Utah, for what it's worth. It's weird.
It's weird.
But it's not weird to like. Just like it's not weird to my grandpa to make that joke.
It's not weird to
the Targaryens either. Yep.
Right, it's part of their culture too.
So like,
it's very traditional in Targaryen culture.
So
now,
yeah,
that leaves room for like, you know, why did George R. R. Martin write it that way, right? Like, you can ask questions like that, right? But
yeah, there's a really funny TikTok about this that's like, it's not about this part, but it is similar. It's like. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't like Game of Thrones for the rape. And it was like, well, like, that's the historical events that happened there. It's like, yeah, so if that didn't happen in that dude's head, and it's like
right.
the same thing here. It's like, you didn't have to write it that way.
right. But it did. And so we just work inside that context and that. So, but yeah, that's my
favorite
character.
I'm curious about something.
Damon.
Yeah. It's later in the show, you know, totally gotcha. Fine. Do you have a favorite Damon moment?
Yeah, when he, and it's not in the later show. I haven't put it there, but I'll put it here. Man, when he comes out dragging the corpse of the sea crab guy, whatever the crab feeder, I think is the name of that character, who's got like the grayscale. First off, didn't know how Damon didn't get grayscale there, right? Because I thought that it came through touch, and he's just here, just dragging him out, and winning that battle. Just yeah, his solo challenge of the Crab Peter's forces was awesome. I loved that episode.
So that episode is great. I also have a favorite Damon moment, and it is actually giving fealty to his brother after winning that battle.
Uh huh.
I think that was pretty great. My favorite character is... It sucks, because I have two favorite characters. And I don't know if it's because of the people that played them. So... Before the time skip... Now, I'll just say, before the time skip, my favorite character by a substantial margin is Rhaenyra.
Mm-hmm.
After the time skip, I don't know if I enjoyed Rhaenyra as much. There were a lot of... That was actually a common complaint among the fans, and I'll talk about it here. I'm not saying that what is this, the name of the actress?
Emma Darcy.
Emma did an amazing job.
She's fantastic.
That's the older one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Emma did a bad job at all. I thought she was fantastic. And I shouldn't compare them, but holy frickin' crap. I was baffled. I also didn't realize she was 21 playing a 15-year-old,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, this is the best child actor I've ever watched in my whole entire life. Like, this is crazy. It turns out, not a child actor. But yeah, I think that it is still Rhaenyra at the end of the show, but I also think that one of the things that, this is going to be a type of show that I struggle with, is that I don't, for those who don't know, I'm not a huge fan of Breaking Bad. In fact, I've actually watched Breaking Bad like 3 times all the way through to try and understand people saying it's the best TV show of all time, because I just don't think so. And one of the reasons is that people often do the dumbest thing that you could possibly do in the situation that they're in, and they make the worst choice, and there's no redeemable characters. This show doesn't have that problem, but the characters in this show are not good people making good choices. Mm-hmm. However, you can understand their choices in this show, unlike that show. So there are parts of the show that I struggle with just from that respect on how, like, it's hard for me to pick a favorite character because the characters all have, like, pretty big flaws. But it's probably Rhaenyra, and my favorite Rhaenyra moment is actually when she goes hunting. Like, it is.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's the best moment in the show. So,
the thing with the whole stag, and that's kind of a thing with Game of Thrones, anyways, right? It's a lot of the characters are not good people, and that's been a constant throughout both series, right?
It's true. Like, if you think of Tyrion. I was like, mm-hmm. I tried to say his dad's name, but I was like, that's not the right name. Tyrion's not a great dude to start the show, and he has to come to terms with that. And I think that Rhaenyra makes 15-year-old girl decisions, and her friend, who should be supportive of her, takes her down a very different path. We'll get into this. We'll get into this later in the show, though. Favorite storyline is our next topic, and I have a weird favorite storyline, and it's the queen who wasn't, or whatever they call her, the queen who never was.
Yeah, Rhaenys.
So Rhaenys is an interesting storyline because there is conflict in her marriage because of it. There's conflict in her family because of it. There's a really good conversation between her and Rhaenyra about it. Sorry. I think that storyline highlights, kind of highlights wisdom in this show. Like, you can really tell why she would have been a better queen than Viserys is a king. Like, it is not hard to see. She is wiser. She is better tactically. She is better strategically. She cares deeply, even for Viserys. That storyline of the effect that her not becoming queen has on the rest of the show, it's pretty beautiful, in my opinion.
For sure, 100%. And I think my favorite storyline ties along with that. The fact that, and I think it's interesting, right, that House Velaryon has so much sway, like, right, so you're all the stuff with Rhaenys, right, but their whole family, right, in different points of the show, thinking of their daughter who got married to Daemon, right, that creates a whole interesting dynamic. The, you know, all the things that happen with Laenor, right, and that drama, and their position changes so often throughout the show, right, as far as where their allegiances lie and, you know, how they react to this crazy family that is the Targaryens. you have complete contrast, right, with Vaemond, who calls into question Rhaenyra's children, right, publicly, right, loses his head for it, not his tongue, and then, you know, not even an episode and a half later, they're back, you know, on Dragonstone, ready to go to war for Rhaenyra. So just the whole Valyrian family intertwined throughout adds just this interesting dynamic to all these different situations.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, the one of the things that I think that's really interesting about your storyline is that it's so tangled with the, like, entire story. I mean, even to the point of Daenerys, right? Her mother was a Valyrian. Like, it goes so far beyond the scope of what we're even looking at. Are freaking Valyrians Hufflepuffs? They're so loyal. How are they so loyal to this family of?
Well, not all of them are, right? Like, they just keep getting tangled up in these things, like Corlys with Daemon's conflict and the war and the with the crab feeder.
But is he tangled in that? I think that Daemon is. I don't think that that's tangled. I think that. Oh man, we don't usually get this deep in a podcast.
Yeah,
we're going hard. I don't know that that's tangling. Like, Corrus is asking for loyalty from the Targaryens because he's been loyal to their house, even though he has reason not to be.
I think there's also an aspect of crown chasing with that too, right? He was kind of covering his bases, right, to have favor in case that Daemon, you know, did become king. They were hedging their bets there.
Sure. I think that maybe I give him more credit than he deserves. I think that Rhaenyra is wrong about her husband. I do think that he's putting his family first and not
crowned. You're talking about the last episode. Oh.
I don't know, just the whole show.
Got it. Yeah.
It's
always his family first, and that just happens to change.
Yeah, I think you're allowed to change your mind with different things. I do think that the Damien one, to your point, is a little more sus, or the Damon one. That's interesting.
Right, because he was on Viserys' council, right, and then left to go fight this war against.
But the thing is that I don't know that he's wrong for fighting the war.
No, I don't think he's wrong either. But it's just
where else is he going to get a dragon to help him?
Right.
All he did was ask for the Dragon Rider. I mean, he was in favor of the Dragon Riders just going and winning the war, right?
Mm-hmm. Viserys didn't want to deal with it. It was just like, not my chair, not my problem.
Well, this ties back into my favorite storyline, which is this queen that would have just done that. Mm-hmm. Would have had, right. I mean, they call him Viserys the Peaceful when he dies. And right. It's like, were you peaceful or were you non-combatant?
Sure. Is non-combatants actually peace?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's jump into could be betters. I only have one could be better for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe I have two. My biggest could be better for this show is maybe I do have two. I don't like implicating stuff. So a really good example of this is implying that Daemon murdered his wife. While great, I don't want to see the murder of his wife. I'd like it confirmed. I also don't like that it's implied that Daemon is the one that set up this child fight ring. Like, did he? I would like that answer.
Oh, Aegon?
Oh,
you mean?
No, not Aegon. It's Daemon.
I thought that was
that set it up.
Yeah, I thought that was an Aegon thing.
That's when they're looking for Aegon for.
And then it's his operation down there. That's what I thought. I'll have to double check again. This happens when you only watch the show once through.
I think it's implied right? that Daemon
that it's Daemon
and his. Maybe you're right, actually, now that I'm saying this out loud. I don't know. Anyway, I don't like a bunch of implications, such as the, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, of the Valyrian son that was married to Rhaenyra.
Laenor.
Like, I don't like the implication of, like, him shaving his head. Like, what's going to happen when he has freaking blonde hair, like, in the other city? Like, I don't know. There's like a lot of things that are like implied in this show that, I mean, some of it's probably good. Maybe this isn't going to be better for me, actually. Now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm actually already changing my mind. There was one episode, I think it's episode, is it episode two? It was the same problem that you were talking about in Game of Thrones. Where one of the episodes you just can't see anything. Like the whole freaking episode. Is it episode six? It bugs me every time that they do this. There has to be another way to film episodes other than literally not being able to see the episode. Like, I don't know why directors choose to publish that type of content, but, like, for people like me who are literally visually, like, I'm wearing contacts to mold the shape of my eyes. I already don't have great depth perception. You're making everything black. Like, don't do that.
See here, I'm looking. It would be super ironic if it was episode 5, because that one's titled We Light the Way.
But yeah, that's probably my computer. I don't know, this show's real good. I also like the decrease in gore
I think it is the fifth of the sixth, or maybe it's episode 6 where they're in Driftmark. And it's super dark. A lot of that takes place at night and outside.
Sure.
Is that where, like, Aemon gets his dragon? Is that the episode that you're talking about?
It might be.
And he, like, goes and steals a dragon, loses his eye, you know, all that spoilery stuff.
I mean, we're in spoiler territory. You can just
say. Yeah, I know.
It was only one. It was like 1.5 episodes where I was like, this is stupid. Like, why am I watching this?
Right.
That's my biggest one. What about you? Any could be betters?
Yeah. So we talked a bit about pacing earlier, right? And how this show was paced a lot better than the first season of Game of Thrones, right? The time jumps where they just jump 2 years later were very jarring, and sometimes it took me out of it a little bit. Not saying that it's like it's again, it's not a bad thing, right? Like I get they had a lot to cover in 10 episodes. Of a lot of time before, the actual Dance of the Dragons, which starts, with this next season. That doesn't come out till 2024. We have to wait for freaking ever to get this show back that we love so much. But yeah, the time jumps were jarring, but I don't think that will be an issue moving forward. As in, I think they'll take their time telling the rest of the story and not having to do those jumps. And then just Kristen Cole's character just felt so pointless. Like, I just really didn't like him. And I don't know if you're like made to just like not like him. Like that's probably designed that way. But like having this extra love interest, right, that just gets like blown off when and then he just is Alicent's puppy dog after.
Right, so disagree.
He just
with
loses
it.
All of his purpose.
I have literally not agreed with it could be better yet, and I like don't want to debate you because like it's how you feel about the show. So I that's interesting that you didn't.
Why do you think that?
Because I think I'm that he curious. Is acting like he's this like hot like he's adopting Allison's like high and mighty mentality, and it like I think that he's just. Oh my gosh, I have so many things that I could say. One, like, you're like, no, I don't want to be your whore or whatever he says. And it's like, you already were. You already broke your oath.
Yeah.
You already did all of this. And then he acts like he has some, like, high and mighty honor, like, for the rest of the show. Because he then said no to her later and then works for the queen. And then the queen acts like she has some high and mighty honor. Like, I think it's good storytelling. Like, I think it villainizes them real well.
Sure. Okay. It does make them. I did hate them. I did hate Kristen Cole.
Good. That's what it was supposed to do, Patty.
All right. So that's, yeah. Just like, I wish he would have just like not come back and just been.
I think it could be better.
But like,
actually, yeah. Now that you said this, though, can we. Did, like. I get that people have foot fetishes.
Oh, gosh.
But like. Does a fetish need... I have my own things that I enjoy. I don't know that it
that
needs...
Was,
I don't know that that needed a scene.
I didn't need to see that.
I just don't, like... And also, let me just say, why make the cripple the one with the foot fetish? Like... That seemed a little heavy-handed. I just have somebody else have one if you wanted to have representation. I don't. That seemed weird.
Well, I mean, that's to be fair. That it does track.
You don't. Do you have one? Are you a?
No.
How do you know that?
just like
it you makes think the sense writer the in the hold on time out
who's
the writer in the room work. That wrote this was like, you know, I haven't read the book. If this is part of the book and like this was George R. R. Martin's vision for this character, still didn't need to put it in the show.
Yeah, there's a few of those things, right? But like, no, I'm saying it tracks as in if your feet don't work, right? It doesn't. It's not too far off to, you know, fetishize feet that do and that are beautiful, right? Like, I could see that. It doesn't. It's not like this far off kind of thing for the cripple.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
I just want to let.
Didn't mean it was not like.
Here's
like,
the thing.
I didn't need to see that.
I don't think that we need a parental advisory warning here, because we didn't get into anything specific. But I will say that if you are watching this in your car and your kids are asking you a question, you know, some people think feet are cool, and that's all they need to know. Yeah, that's my could be better. Do you have any other could be betters before we move on to Lovitz? Because there's a lot of them.
Nope. Yeah, so many Lovitz.
Yeah. I loved this show so much. I loved the sizing and scaling of the dragons, the importance of the riders. I loved the, I don't want to steal yours. I need to look at yours before I go off. Oh, I already did.
We both love the dragons.
Yeah.
Just how many dragons are in this show?
I loved the... Oh, I actually do have a could be better.
Okay.
Before we move on, that who's the oldest son of Alicent?
Alicent's oldest son is they're listed as House Velaryon. No,
they should be listed as House Targaryen.
Oh, you're right. They are should be. Oh, the Targaryens. Yes. Let's see here. So Aegon, right?
Aegon,
who becomes king.
Yeah.
Right. Not Aemon, the tall one who loses his eye.
Aegon is not believable as a character.
Got it. Yeah.
Huge could be better. The motivations for the character are believable. I'm sure that would be a really hard role to play. But
yeah.
I,
as someone who drinks young, right? Because that's part of why he becomes the way he is, right? Is because he loved drinking as in his younger age.
Yeah.
And so it had those kind of effects on him when he grew older.
Yeah, I have so many problems with how either this character was written or betrayed. I don't know. I am the type of person that never likes to blame the actor and also doesn't like to just place blame, right? Like, what went wrong? To me, this character, he took me out of the show. Like, there were points where, like, when he asked his mom if she loves him, I think is the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like...
Is that when they're riding over to his coronation? It didn't even
sound like you care about her answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's crazy is Allison's response brought me back in. I was like, she's like, you're so stupid. Like, what? You're literally about to become king. I did all of this for you. Why are you asking me this? Brought me back in. But it's like, he takes me out of it. Like, yeah. It was hard.
I hope we get to understand him better as king. This also could be better. Just like it, I almost wish we had more time with the kids, right? I know we're going to get more time with the children, right? Because they're you know, a big part of, you know, obviously everything kind of in the Dance of Dragons is centered around the kids,
sure,
right? And so. We might see more of that in the coming seasons.
Yeah, right. my other major Lovitz are, one, the pacing. I thought this was one of the best paced shows I've ever watched. So when you were like, the pacing, I was like, what? This was like anime pacing. It was so good. I was actually going to mention the second time skip I really liked. I didn't even notice it. And I think that that is a huge deal in writing and in acting and in, like, they crushed that second time skip.
When was the second time skip?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Okay. If I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know. I didn't know there was another time skip until you mentioned it.
There was a few.
I thought there was one time skip.
No, no. Like, you see many kids getting old. Like, you see Eamon and
Helena. Oh, no, I did notice that, right, one. I'm kids. Sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I did.
Immediately after they get married.
I'm sorry. Right? Like, I did notice that time skip.
Kids started popping up out of nowhere and.
Yes, I did. I did notice that it did was not actually that is a love it. It seemed seamless. It gave me context for, like, when you introduce characters with a time skip, does not bug me. The first time skip was hard because I fell in love with those princesses. Like, I was like, these are some of the best actresses I've ever watched in my whole life.
Oh, then you missed some time skips then, because there was definitely one after episode one, right? Well, and episode two. And
hold three, on. Like, that's not what we're talking about, though. I'm frustrated.
You're talking about just the big.
I'm talking about the big time skip.
Got it.
Every episode has a time skip in the whole show. Like, your definition of a time skip is time passed and we missed something, then doesn't every episode have a time skip?
No, it felt a lot more drastic, and you had to kind of catch up. I felt like it was there was.
But what more context do you need other than Rhaenyra has these kids now?
I don't know. I just noticed it a lot more, and it just bugs me a little more.
That's fair. It bugged a lot of people for what it's worth. So I'm just asking the question because I want to understand. A couple more love-its for me really quickly are, I loved how much I hated, the Hightower. What's his name?
Otto.
Dude,
Otto Hightower.
I hate him. Reese. He is like Dolores Umbridge level of hate for me, which is weird because I don't think that he's the most hated character by a lot of people, but I hate him. Like, I have not hated a character this much since Dolores Umbridge. Here's the thing. One of my could be better about Harry Potter is you should not make me hate a character that much. I don't hate that I hate him that much here, but I could get there. Like, I could get there. People are like, oh, Joffrey's more hated than Dolores Umbridge. No. I hate this character more than I hated any character other than, What's the nurse's brother's name? Is it Aegon?
I think it might be Aegon.
I think it's Aegon. If it's not, leave a comment, let us know. But I hated him more than any character in that show. And I might hate Otto more. Like,
it's close. I also loathe Otto and Harwin Strong for that matter. Right? I don't like Breakbones at all.
Is Harwin the third, the second child?
Yeah.
So,
He's the
foot guy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't hate him nearly as much. He's just.
Dude butchered his whole family.
I mean, yeah. At least he's just like. So I think this is actually, I think this is a love it. I think that the reason that people, I'm going to use Dolores Umbridge and Voldemort really quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Voldemort is clearly evil. Just like actually a bad human that is not pretending to be anything other than bad. I don't think Harwin's pretending to be good to anyone.
Right.
I don't think anyone's like, you know who's a good dude? It's Harwin. right?
Yeah.
The reason that you hate Allison so much is she pretends to have this high ground that she does not have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you really see Otto, that when she Otto like, is, attacks.
Yes, Otto is even worse at it. Where you, like he also is like, and you're like, what is your like? What are you doing?
They are the religious folks. Like they are like the reason that the Seven is a thing for like the religion in King's Landing, right? Like,
it is you the see worst religion. We can get into that too. Some other time as a bonus episode of the worst religions in all of Westeros
in fantasy or stuff.
No, I know in Westeros. I mean, there's a lot of religions in Westeros. That one's the worst.
For sure. You also see it visually, right? A lot of the things in the castle change when Viserys gets super sick.
Yeah. So I have a few more Lovetts. One, I love the costumes. They crushed it in this. Two, I love the fan service. There were like multiple moments, you know, just calling out other houses really simply. I really love the moment where Otto is asking everybody to like betray their oaths, and some of them have a hard time. And then I loved the last two episodes. Like,
that was really well done.
I thought that you were going to talk about it because of what you said earlier, but like, let's talk. Like,
I don't think I've gone through my Lovetts yet. So,
oh, that's true. Well, then we'll get into. Well, maybe I should stop then. You go.
Okay. And we'll talk about it. Sweet. So I kind of teased a few of these before, right? So I loved it getting really back to the roots of Game of Thrones, right? I think some of the best episodes and times in Game of Thrones is when people were actually playing the Game of Thrones and the political intrigue that surrounds the Iron Throne. I do like that the Iron Throne was very different. Right, over time you see it kind of scale down to being just the throne, but like all the extra swords, it looks a lot more like it does in you know, some of that original imagery.
So for what it's worth, they changed that for Game of Thrones. This is just what the Iron Throne looks like. This was it like a must mm-hmm. have for George R. R. Martin.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, because it looks a lot more like his original design, and that is important, especially with the new showrunners, right? Making it closer to, you know, what George pictured, made tons of sense. We mentioned that we love all the dragons. And
who's your favorite dragon, actually?
Oh man, probably.
Go first.
It's got to be Aemon's. Right, oh, the one that he steals.
Vhagar,
yeah.
Oh, Vhagar's
awesome.
Vhagar is large. The largest
He's
dragon.
So huge! Right? And there's this whole ballsy thing, right, with Aemon. Like, I love that little story. Like, he,
oh my gosh!
They make fun of him for not having a dragon, right, and, you know, call him the master of pigs, whatever, right? These kids are horrible to him. And he just, you know, goes and claims this giant dragon, and it makes him a harder person, right? Like, he's this, you know, kind of almost frail. You know, he's not very strong, and he's timid, and that just changes as soon as he claims the dragon and starts, you know, getting confidence. And it's super. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I love it.
My favorite dragon is, it is a tie between Bloodworm and, I want to get the other one's name right, but I actually don't even know if I'm going to know how to say it. Oh, is it even going to be in here?
I don't see it in the fandom. That's why I was looking. I was like, shoot, where it doesn't have the dragons.
Hold on one second. Oh, it's Aerix. Aerix being this like little puppy dragon. I love the whole time.
Is that the dragon that Lucerys rides?
Luke's dragon that gets.
Yeah, Luke's dragon. Yes, that just gets demolished at the end.
So
do you want to talk about that briefly?
It's going to be one of my love-its. But hold on, I actually have a could be better for Game of Thrones as a whole. These are not dragons. I know that I don't want to start an internet war here, but these are not dragons. And it bugs me every time.
Oh, that some of these seem like they're more drakes than dragons?
Which ones don't seem like they're drakes, Patty B?
The young dragons have not matured into dragons, and so they do feel more like drakes.
Hold on. No. Which dragon has four legs and two wings?
So, all the older ones... So, Rhaenyra's dragon does.
Is that true?
Vhagar has been tested, and then Bloodworm...
Hold on. Vhagar has two wings and two legs.
I'm going to have to pay more attention to that. Did any of the oh so
none
this is a
criticism none of
for
them
the whole
ever
show. Like
none of them ever in the okay. history this is I said this is a Game of Thrones
Got
could
it.
Be better it bugs me every single time and people are like oh you know that's just your interpretation of what a dragon is it's like no there are multiple types of dragons drakes is not one of them. You're literally showing the definition of a drake. Here's the thing. You could have given them no wings, and you could have convinced me that they were dragons. There are so many ways you could have given me these creatures and had them be dragons. The one you gave me is specifically not a dragon.
Interesting. I did not realize.
Realized it. You never took you on the show. Patty, he takes me on the show every time they walk. And they got these, like, two little claws that they throw into the ground to walk forward with their wings. It bugs me every time.
Huh.
I'm sorry that I broke this glass. And that you will now be bugged
by
it every
time.
Two dragons had four legs because you were so enamored with the dragon, you didn't even realize they didn't.
Yeah, that's how good of a job they did.
It bugs me every time. I'm like, that's not a fucking dragon. Sorry, I just said the F word. I gotta edit that out.
We can edit that out. Yeah.
Hold on. It's not a freaking dragon. It's not a dragon. It's a drake. And you know what? It's fine. I accept that drakes are dragons in this universe, but it bugs me every time. Every time.
They're Jersey Drakes, huh?
What's weird to me is like,
started from the
is
bottom
it because it's
here.
Cheaper? Is that why they do it? Because
right,
lots
like,
of like
CG.
They did it with Smaug too in Hobbit, and it bugged me so bad in Hobbit. I left that theater so mad. I was viscerally upset. But like, it's not a dragon. Listen,
got it.
Chinese dragons, four legs, no wings. I would accept it. You could convince me those are the dragons they're riding. Wouldn't care. Like, there are so many versions of dragons. Do you know what none of them have? Two wings, two legs, look like a four-legged dragon, except that their legs, their arms and their legs are attached to each other and they flap around.
Right, that I imagine that's has to be how they're justifying it. A, because of CG costs.
It has to be CG costs,
to make
right?
Those wings like attached to their front arms to be like one and the same. Because when I picture or like think back to you know core like thoughts of dragons, right? It is the four legs and then two wings on the back, higher up, you know, on the spine.
There's, like, lion dragon things. There's,
right.
like, so many versions of dragons. But none of them are this. Drakes exist.
These must be George R. R. Martin's dragons.
Oh, I don't.
And you can't
stop
argue
it.
With it.
Stop. I mean, you can't. But the thing that bugs me is, like, I have not read the Game of Thrones series, so maybe this is how he describes them and they're being true to that content. And if that's true, that's awesome. It would be, it could be better for the books. Smaug, for what it's worth, in The Hobbit, Smaug is not described that way. Smaug does have four legs and two wings, and it bugged me real bad. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
We've jumped around a bit.
That's okay. We've gone back to the betters. You have some more Lovitz?
I think I'm set. Like, it, you, a lot of ours are the same.
Yeah.
We can talk now about the...
Well, I have
last two episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we talk about the last two episodes? Because I have a lot of love just from those two episodes. Yep. Listen, I love two-part finales that make you wait a week. Like, I just think that it's great. It's so funny because we live in this binge-watching era of television. I don't like it. I prefer this. Like, this is more consumable for me. This is... It is untenable for me to watch 32 different shows and also have binge-watched them all because some person watches them in 2 days while I have a full time. Like, it, I just can't be a part of that conversation, and I love this a lot more. Like, you said that you made time for it, right? And I think that that, to me, it lets you pick the conversation you want to be a part of. And I was really glad that I got to be a part of this conversation, that I got to do it with my wife. And the two-part finale was a huge, huge thing for me in some of those conversations. I'll stop there. I have more to say, but I want to give you a chance to.
Got it. Yeah. With the two parts, because and it just, I think it works also just so well because it's, there are two sides to this coin of the Targaryen, not necessarily the madness, you know, line from earlier in the main series, right? When a Targaryen is born, they flip a coin. But rather just like you have the greens, you have the blacks, and they each get their W's and their L's in each of them, and it's just really good storytelling. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I make time for this show. There's something to waiting and creating that like suspense and cliffhangers that is just makes it just that much more enjoyable. And for what it's worth, I think Game of Thrones has done a lot of really great two-part finales, right, throughout its tenure. Some not as great at the end.
The penultimate episodes are actually always the best. They're always so good.
And yeah, just you always get that feeling of like, oh, they leave you somewhere where you don't want to be left, and it brings you back next week. And that is something they've done well throughout both series.
Really quick fun fact, because I was curious. Vhagar has Aemon as his fourth writer.
Yeah.
So Queen Viseria Targaryen, Baelon, which I felt like we only knew about Baelon before Lyanna.
Because he rode the Black Dread, it died, and then he started writing Vhagar. Yeah.
And then Aemon, so.
Well, Aemon, and then the Valyrian lady before. It was her.
I said Lyanna.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
It's okay. I thought you read a spoiler for me right there. I thought you were saying, and when you said, and then, I was like, if you tell me that somebody rides this dragon next, I will literally drive to your house and murder you, Patty.
Gotcha. No, good old Sapphire Eye is here to stay, I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
I guess that's something as well. I think we mentioned it a little bit before, right? So who was, what moment were you talking about where it was like a scumbag move?
Oh my gosh, the number of people like, I can't believe that Daemon choked out his wife. I'm like, the guy that murdered his other wife, you can't believe that?
Got it. Yeah. That's what you're talking about there. Yes, that was a, oh my gosh, like, another part of Daemon, you just,
Here's the thing. I saw a TikTok, so I wish I could credit them, but I don't remember who it was by. They talked about the moment at the end of the show, at the end of the season, where Vhagar kills Luke and bites Raxus in half. Just like... And they're
completely
like...
demolished.
These two...
After he gets just like a little bit of fire.
These two children are riding nuclear bombs at each other, and one of them blows up, and it's like, whose fault is it? Well, it's like, well, who gave children nuclear bombs?
They both, I think they made a really good point in that final episode, right? That they were both trying to get control of their nuclear bombs. I don't think that Aemon had any intent to kill Luke.
Oh, he did.
He was trying to taunt him and just get to him, right? But as soon as Vhagar got, you know, shot in the face with a little bit of fire from this young dragon, who also, you know, Luke didn't know, like, couldn't get control of it, right?
They literally paid the price, and now he's started this war. Yeah,
yeah,
and it's so funny because it's like it's not funny actually. I don't know why I said it's funny because it's not. It is. It's actually kind of, it's like this show is, and I think Game of Thrones as well. Like, these are tragedies. These are, I think that, you know, one of the reasons, I actually wonder if they had ended without an ending of Game of Thrones, like where, like I said at the beginning of the show, where like, you don't know if the Night King loses. You can decide whatever you want happens after that. Mm-hmm. But I think that these shows being tragedies, you know, to use the Shakespearean term, like, yeah, Aemon, who sucks monkey dong or whatever, not a good kid, still wasn't trying to kill his cousin, but you know what he did? He took his dragon 14 times the size of the other kid's dragon, and his dragon ate his cousin. Because he decided to jump on that dragon and play a prank to get his eyeball. How is he even going to get his eyeball?
Right. It's a huge thing, the whole eye thing, right? As far as, like, I really stressing that eye for an eye. You took my eye when I was a kid. But, I mean, I think that made him just a seasoned, stronger character, right? That moment, you know, changed his life and made him tougher and, you know, more of a person. In fact, possibly a bad person.
Oh, he's a bad person. Oh, I have another love it. You remind me of some things. We gotta wrap this up. When he gives his toast and he, like, pauses on the word strong. I don't know if you caught that. Yeah. I did not.
That whole episode was fantastic.
Oh, it was the best episode in the whole show.
Yeah. You get this feeling that everything's going to be okay. And Patty, also, I don't think we've mentioned him once, but Patty Constantine, who played Viserys. Oh,
when he goes to the... That's a huge love, too, when he goes to the freaking throne and he's like, I'll sit the throne today. Oh.
Huge moment, yeah. He has some of the best moments. And it's he's such a great actor, too, that, like... It kind of had the feeling, I think, listening to a lot of the interviews, like, you know, Sean Bean with the first series.
We got to edit these show notes in the future. We're going to limit ourselves to three Lovitz apiece.
It's so
I'm gonna
bad.
End it here.
Let's rate it.
I'm going to go first. I know that we're only supposed to give five something that we would never, ever change anything about. But even though I had Kid Be Betters, other than the lighting, I don't think that I would actually change the show. And I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 for the first season. I think
solid,
like,
5.
Oh, same. Okay. Yeah. I think that this is one of the best shows to ever hit the airwaves. And we should be really glad that we got to watch it.
Yep. 100%. I'm with you there. Solid 5. Definitely. I'm just, and it has me, like, so upset that, like, we're not going to get to see and continue the story.
They've already been filming it. Like,
they've started.
Yeah. I'm going to say something here. If you are upset that you have to wait you can have one group of people to blame. And it is the people that throw little hissy fits on the internet about Game of Thrones. And that are like,
yeah,
leaving HBO for like, what? You want Game of Thrones to... So, do you know what the show costs, Patty B?
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
$300 million.
Yes. I actually... Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Three of them.
You did a good job. I might have that number wrong. I'm pretty sure it was 300 million. I think that does not include marketing.
I don't know how it, like, wouldn't get a second season.
So, here's the thing.
Right? Like,
here's the thing. Last time they did a season of this series, the internet blew up, and it was not good for HBO.
Hmm.
So when you're like...
Things have changed since then.
What? I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to be clear that people should stop being the worst about every single thing that happens. Stop only posting your negative opinions and stop attacking people for having positive ones. We both rated the show 5. I know tons of people in the internet that are like, the last episode ruined this whole show. I won't watch another one. You're an idiot. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode and listening to the Need to Nerd podcast. I have a Need to Nerd. Patty does too. Patty, you have a poll this week.
I do have a poll this week.
What are we polling?
Right. We always ask about our favorite characters. And I think a lot of these, it's nice to hear what your favorite characters are. So who was your favorite character from House of the Dragon Season 1? Rhaenyra? Daemon? Alicent? Otto Hightower? Other? Tweet us.
You can only get 4 options for a tweet, but I will put this in the episode on Spotify as well as on Twitter. Thank you everybody so much for listening. You can find me at SpencerNH. You can find Patty at PattyBMPG. Like, subscribe. Spotify now has reviews. So if you get a chance, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave us a review. Greatly appreciated. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We'll see you guys all next time with another episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.